This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. Again this week, we are departing from our usual interview format in order to continue the presentation of remarks to a joint session of the Mississippi Legislature by Senator John Stennis, Democrat of Mississippi. Senator Stennis is one of the nation's best-informed leaders in the field of military affairs and national defense. He's chairman of the Senate Preparedness Subcommittee and ranking Democratic member of the powerful Senate Armed Services Committee. He was invited to address the Mississippi Legislature to explain our present military situation in Vietnam and outline his ideas of where we are heading. Now, from the Mississippi State Capitol in Jackson, here is Senator John Stennis.
Well, I believe the hard fact is that we've not yet exerted enough military pressure to force the Viet Cong or the North Vietnamese to the conference table. I believe they're convinced at this time that their interests will best be served by a continuation of this war. And here's my major conclusion. I think the communist nations of Asia have decided to make Vietnam a test of both our military power and our national purpose, a test of our will to win. And that's why I believe they are not going to put up anything in the conference table or yield anything substantially until they feel the military might. They believe that a long, bitter, and grinding war on the ground with its attendant blood and sacrifice will drain our will and capability to the point that we will either withdraw or consent to peace on their terms. The winning of this war and the stopping of this bloodshed, either through a military victory or through an honorable diplomatic settlement, is the first order of business with me, and it should be the first order of business throughout Washington. This means that those great society programs with the billions that they are gulping down should be relegated to the rear, far to the rear, I think. Certainly, they must be made secondary to this war. Regardless of whether we agree with the wisdom of our initial commitment there or not, we must fight this thing either to a military victory or an honorable diplomatic settlement. As I said, we have put the American flag in issue already. We put American troops in the field. Both our flags and our troops have been fired on. More than 1,800 have lost their lives in actual combat. Our commitment is such that we cannot now withdraw without dishonor to our national purpose and our national image. Moreover, to do so would lay the groundwork for almost certain and perhaps even more serious challenges to us and our commitments elsewhere, in Asia, in Latin America, in Western Europe, in the Middle East, anywhere and everywhere, that this problem would get the nerve to show itself and exert itself in some kind of a war. There are a number of things we must do to win, I think. First, we must make a national decision that it's our purpose to win. If we cannot do this, we must either get out or resign ourselves to the prospect of a long and unhappy stalemate, which will be costly both in money and in lives. To me, that is a major, basic conclusion. Don't let anyone make you believe that we can hang on there with honor and wait for a break or wait for something to happen. Year will follow year. We'll have to fight on to a degree through a long stalemate that could last 10 or 15 years, and we're inviting them to start like movements elsewhere. Assuming that our decision now is to win, and I think it is, we must then increase our combat troops to the extent that we can take the war effectively to the Viet Cong and their allies in North Vietnam and drive them from that country. As a part of the same movement, we must resume and conduct an air war against North Vietnam in an intensified effort to stop the flow of men and supplies from the north to the south. But this bombing, then, if we resume it, in my judgment, to remove the restrictions which have prevented us from waging a hard and all-out air attack in North Vietnam, might bring us unusual returns if we take these restrictions off. The targets for these air attacks could include power plants, petroleum facilities and ports, and other facilities and installations. Once the President as Commander-in-Chief decides the policy, our professional military men, I think, are the ones to select the target. And I think the point here about this more extended bombing of North Vietnam are the restrictions that we've had on the bombing so far is tied directly into this question about what Red China would do. In short, I believe that we must be prepared to hit the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese as hard and as often and wherever necessary to make them realize that our purpose is to win and not just to maintain a holding operation. If we do less than this, I don't think it's in and out. We'll have this long, drawn-out, bloody war that could last 15 years. Stepped-up operations against North Vietnam may well raise a serious question as to whether we will provoke Red China into a full intervention. This is an exposed nerve, and it is a question which controls and influenced many of our actions so far. However, in view of our commitment, I believe that we must face and accept the risk involved and be prepared to meet Red Chinese military aggression if it should come with the requisite military might. Now, I have no illusions about this thing. For my part, I would never put our boys in mortal conflict against the hordes of Red Chinese coolies without being free to use every weapon that we have, when and if necessary. That's another point that I think, without too much debate, but with some in the nation, should be brought out and the people have a chance to make up their minds. Certainly you've expressed yourself here to me a minute ago. Another thing is coming, increased taxes. If this war continues, are certain. We may be forced to a choice between guns and butter, which might entail economic controls and even ration of goods and materials, with at least a partial disruption of normal business operations. Many major domestic programs may have to be curtailed. While we had quite a bit of ration, you remember, and restrictions of strategic materials, even in the Korean War. I'm not wanting this to happen. I'm not now predicting it will happen. But if this thing spreads, it can go like a forest fire for a while and could bring about these conditions. The toll of casualties will go even higher. An additional thousand of American fighting men will be called upon to pay the greatest and final sacrifice in defense of their country. I wish I could end this speech on an optimistic note, but the realities of the situation are hard, must be faced by all Americans. Let me now briefly summarize. There are several alternatives or possibilities which confront us. First, we can withdraw. This is unthinkable. Secondly, without adequate military strength, we could be driven out. This, of course, must not happen. Thirdly, the war can develop into a stalemate and a costly and grinding war of attrition. This could last from 10 to 15 years and would be the most costly in blood, money, and tears. I believe we would lose our prestige in world affairs. I believe we would cease to become a symbol of strength and willpower and determination if we let this war drag on from year to year, as some would. Fourthly, we can bring to bear sufficient military might to force our communist enemies to the conference table. Failing that, then defeat them on the field of battle. Only the last alternative, in my judgment, offers us the chance of peace with honor. Further, I believe that the sooner we undertake this mission, the less will be the cost in time and in life. Now let's remember we are a powerful nation. We have great reserves of moral and spiritual strength. We can see this thing through, and I have a strong belief that a strong offense will change this entire picture. Let us stand our ground. May God sustain us and help us as we go. I thank you.
You have been listening to highlights from an address to a joint session of the Mississippi Legislature by Senator John Stennis, Democrat of Mississippi, Chairman of the Senate Preparedness Subcommittee. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in our Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedoms.